Hey, everybody, it's Mary Lou Tyler. This week's guest is Jonathan Soares. I asked him to come onto the show because he has a lot of background in both technology and consumer sales, and he's been at this for 15 years, and he covers the entire pipeline. So our conversation is going to kind of ebb and flow through the entire pipeline, but he really has great background in the prospecting side of things and also how to leverage technology with social selling. Now, as you all know, I'm a process person, but there are points in the process where it amplifies, accentuates, points out, whatever you want to call it, skills and also mindset. And so Jonathan is going to help us kind of navigate how to set up a pipeline that's going to allow us to leverage all types of channels, including social, and then take those prospects, leverage technology where we can, but also keep that human spirit alive so that we don't have what we used to call cold calling. We're trying to eliminate that in all facets of our selling and leveraging technology to do that. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Jonathan to the podcast. Welcome, Jonathan.
Mary Lou, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on your podcast, and I look forward to our conversation.
So tell the folks, you know, where you've been over the last 15 years and what got you to where you are today and your company, the founder and CEO of Agency Labs. What caused you to get to where you are now and work in this process with your company?
Sure. So I started my entrepreneurial career in the consumer products world. I had an idea 10 plus years ago that natural and specialty foods would eventually become mainstream national brands. And I decided to take a family barbecue sauce recipe and prove out that concept. Within 3 years, my products were featured in over 15,000 stores nationally. And I spent the earlier part of my 20s doing headquarter calls and working with national category buyers, distributors, retailers across major supermarkets, club stores, mass merchandisers. And that really kind of gave me a very unique perspective into the client relationship management experience, the prospecting experience, how to go against the grain when, an industry has been doing things a certain way for years upon years, and how thinking outside the box and being a bit more creative can enhance prospecting. And I took all those experiences and I said, all right, once I transitioned out of that business in 2010, and decided to get into the technology world, people always ask me, how do you get from, sauce to software?
I love that. Yeah.
And with any entrepreneur, it's all about, solving a problem or, fixing a pain point. And in technology, I saw a huge pain point in the agency world where agencies were all competing against this, $80 billion digital ecosystem. There are 30,000 plus agencies in the country. Instead of me being another agency, I said, well, instead of competing against everyone, why don't I collaborate? And I created this, infrastructure, a technology house of sorts where, we help agencies on a project basis, a very senior US-based team. And we empower our agency partners to succeed in the digital world because the more we empower them to deliver amazing results to their clients, the more work we get. So our clients end up being our biggest business development vehicle. Based on the success we have with them with our projects. So it's all come full circle, and I'm looking forward to taking a deep dive and discussing that in a bit more detail.
Yeah, that's great. And I think, for those listening, an agency is going to be similar in scope to what you guys do on a solo level. And what I want you to think about as you're listening to Jonathan talk today is how you can apply this to your daily workflow, because a lot of what agencies do, it's a repeatable task that they set up for their clients that's consistent, that if their clients want to, they can scale. So that's what we're trying to do on a solo level, but also if we're in teams, trying to get our team to do the same thing. So it fits really nicely. Well, let's talk about the idea of cold calling. Now, what I want to discuss here is, as we all know, there are three channels that we can focus on for business development. There's an inbound or attraction channel. there's this outreach channel where we're targeting accounts that we want to go after. We haven't necessarily started conversations with them yet. We're trying to start the conversation, or we're trying to extend a previous conversation that may have gone dormant. And then the third lever that we can pull is referral networks, where we're taking our clients or partners and working with them to get more business opportunities in our fold. So, Jonathan, taking that into consideration, tell us the concept, what your concept is of cold calling and how we can leverage that in these newer, with these newer technologies to advance prospects through the pipeline.
So cold calling is one of the most highly debated topics in, you know, the sales outreach process. And I like to take kind of a best of both worlds approach, where cold calling can work if it's part of your overall funnel. I don't believe that it should start with cold calling, but I think that after you've had a sequence or targeted set of outreaches, cold calling can be highly effective. It also really depends on the industry. So when I was in the consumer product space, I cold call all the time. Before that, when I was in college, I was a loan officer. And that's what really got me, moving on cold calling, because I was there literally, you know, with my prospecting list, calling hundreds of people on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So when I decided to, after college, to start this consumer products business, it was already ingrained in my head. I was fearless. I knew, you know, how to deal with rejection. And most of the category buyers and, you know, grocery, you know, CEOs out there weren't really exposed to the digital world, because we're going back, you know, over 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So cold calling was a necessity to really, break down certain barriers and get in front of folks. So before I started with cold calling, I always started with a personal letter. So I would create my prospecting list at that time of 50 or 100, grocery prospects, and I would send them each a letter introducing myself and my products. I played on the young entrepreneur angle. I was 20, 21 at the time starting that business. And most of the individuals that were in that industry at the time were probably, 20 or 30 years my senior. So I knew that angle was going to work really well for me. And then I sold them on, my vision and philosophy for where the industry was going. After that, I would follow up probably 2 weeks thereafter with a cold call. 2 weeks after that, I would follow up with sending some product samples. And then from there, I would start sending them an email, which I had, pulled either online or through other industry relationships. So it was like a 3-4 sequence outreach process that I would do. And eventually we get to the point where it was a warm enough lead that I would feel comfortable having someone in my network, potentially expedited introduction if I had the ability to do so. So in that situation, even in the early days, cold calling for me was always something that was part of the process. Now in the digital world, working with agencies, and by agencies, I mean advertising, digital, creative agencies, everything is so digitally enabled and everyone's time is so valuable. Not to say other industries their time is invaluable, but in industries, in the agency world, is very production driven. So heads of production, project managers, producers, developers, designers, they're constantly in campaign mode, either designing or developing a website, an app, you name it. So when a random cold call comes through, it really throws that person through a tizzy. And oftentimes, from my experience in the early days of the business, the rejection was detrimental to my outreach. So after a few of those, I really realized that, there has to be a different way. And that's when I started leveraging social media, because that demographic was actively tweeting. They were actively posting photos on Instagram. They were engaging on LinkedIn. And I thought to myself, well, if I can create a warm introduction by engaging with their content or sharing content and developing my own personality, it would allow me to, further enhance my outreach. And then once I felt I had established a warm relationship, I would incorporate cold calling into that mix as part of my overall strategy. But I had to turn the model on its head a bit so that I could target people a bit more effectively.
So give us a recipe for what you consider to be a warm relationship, because there's a lot of context around that particular topic. And in the past, we've had scoring systems that score engagement. So if I downloaded a white paper, or if I clicked on a link that you suggested, or if I viewed a page on a website, those all count towards engagement. So help us understand the recipe that you use on average. Now, again, the caveat here for everybody listening is it depends on the vertical, depends on the persona, the person that you're trying to get belly to belly with. But overall, there may be a rhythm here that I want you guys to come away with from this conversation with Jonathan, because he is my kind of guy. He's the test scenario.
Absolutely.
And put your ego in your pocket and not worry about rejection, and let the data help you decide what statistically relevant data that is, decide which way you need to go. So give us an understanding of a typical kind of warm introduction, what that looks like.
So typically I'll start with LinkedIn. LinkedIn is amazing for B2B sales. And there's two primary tools that I'll use. The first is eLink Pro. And basically what eLink Pro is, it's a Chrome extension. So once you have your LinkedIn account open, you'll download eLink, and you can go through LinkedIn and do a targeted search. So let's say I want to target agency owners, for example, in the greater New York City area that have, 50 to, 200 or whatever the metric is, company size, they're in the marketing and advertising industry. They've been in their role for X amount of years, and I'll get a very granular targeted search. From there, I will engage eLink, and it will auto view their profiles. Now you're probably thinking, like, what's the relevancy or the importance of viewing a profile? Well, on LinkedIn, unlike any other social network, LinkedIn tells you who's looking at your profile. So I'll get a notification if someone looks at my profile, and there's a good probability that if I think it's an intriguing, individual, I'll probably look at their profile back. Mm-hmm. So increasing your profile visibility is an effective approach to really building up that warm lead. So I'll probably send out anywhere from 200 to 300 profile views on a daily basis. And usually I'm getting probably 10, 15, 20% of that are people that are actually engaging back and looking at my profile. Sometimes they'll send me a connection request. Other times I might say, I'm going to, add them because we're looking at each other's profiles. So that's the first step. From there, I'll use a tool called LeadIQ. And what LeadIQ does, it's the same kind of a Chrome plugin, but it will actually scrape that search query on LinkedIn into a prospecting list. Mm-hmm. So there might be 500 or 1,000 individuals on there. I'll go through and I'll pull all their data, first name, last name, title, email address, phone number, industry. It pulls everything for you, and it cross-references it against a global database that they license out through some, data provider. So it provides a very robust prospecting list. And then I'll take that prospecting list, and then I'll queue it up into a drip campaign. And typically our outreach is anywhere from every 4 to 6 weeks. So it's highly targeted outreach, but it's also at scale. So it's not spamming to the point where we're just, randomly emailing, whoever and their brother. But it's an approach that allows us to efficiently target individuals at a very granular level. And I use LinkedIn Sales Navigator and different types of search approaches to really get that list to a point where we have prospects that I know that are going to yield a high conversion rate. So once that's done, I'll take that prospecting list. I'll run it through a verification tool called Bright Verify that will output all of the valid email addresses that are provided to me through the platform. If any email addresses are invalid, I have an email permutation application that my team built for me that I will actually take those invalid emails. We will create 15 potential variations of that email, and then I'll run it through the verification tool again to see if that will yield a valid email. So there's multiple steps to making sure that I cleanse the data that I'm using to outreach. Once that's happened, I'll go through that list, and then I'll start looking for those prospects on social media. I'll go to Twitter, Instagram, and I'll either follow them on those accounts or engage specifically on their content. And typically, it's, you know, sharing feedback, you know, hey, you know, love that photo, or if it's a topic that they're talking about, engaging in that conversation. So there you go. It's already a warm outreach if they're responding back to you. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that from there, it's a one-to-one email that's hyper-personalized directly from me to that person. I'm not a fan of newsletters or blast kind of, you know, mass email marketing. I think it's highly ineffective. At least that's, you know, what the data has kind of shown me. But I do believe in that targeted approach. And that's kind of the workflow that I go through. And typically the cold call is probably step four or so in that process of email outreach and drips that have actually occurred prior to leaving either a voicemail or talking directly to that individual.
Okay, so let's talk waterfall. You started giving me some numbers, but I'm curious from the standpoint of this process starting with the LinkedIn, the eLink Pro from the Chrome extension, mm-hmm. about how many opportunities would an individual in your organization using your process currently generate per month? You know, you don't need to give me the exact amount, but what, for example, the predictable revenue waterfall that we worked with and have still work with yields 8 to 10 qualified opportunities a month based on 1,000 touches per month of some sort. You know, it could be 1,000 unique touches, or it could be 1,000 touches over the course of a, what we call a sequence, which is multiple touches over the course of time. So what is, do you have goals like that? And if so, going through this process, how much time is spent on prospecting typically? And then what's the yield at the end from this funnel that you've created?
So that's a great question. It really depends on... Well, it's timing driven. So part of mm-hmm. our sales process is relationship building. Right. Most of these agencies that we're working with are getting inbound from a lot of offshore development firms. I mean, hundreds of them email me on a weekly basis. So being able to kind of stand out and be very genuine is very important. Yes. So the first step in our sales process is relationship building, going through capabilities, maybe like 10% of the time there's an active project that, you know, timing worked in our favor and, hey, you know, we've got a project we want to talk to you about. Mm-hmm. But realistically, we're usually anywhere from 2 to 3 months out from actually having a project that, you know, is through design or that they've just closed. So once we've actually had that initial capabilities call, it's important for us to check in every 6 weeks or so, just to check on their production schedule, how things are going, and, you know, what's on the horizon. So there's mm-hmm. a broader funnel that happens around there. What typically happens for new account managers that come on board is usually there's a 4 to 5 month curve. Whereas after you've started the first, you know, I guess, wave of outreach, after 4 to 5 months, we start seeing the actual opportunity funnel filling out. And our goal at that point is about 10 to 15 opportunities mm-hmm. on a monthly basis. Yeah. And typically the close process is around 2 to 3 weeks. Oftentimes there might be opportunities that an agency is actually working on bidding on. So it's a longer process. So that list ends up increasing over time and piggybacking on itself. Right. Out of that 10 to 15 opportunities, so it's kind of skewed in our close rate. Generally speaking, you know, once we've established a relationship and we've had our capability discussion, our close rate is very high. But we have to take into account internal capacity. So if an agency all of a sudden has internal bandwidth that frees up, that's out of our control. If their client ends up going with a different vendor through an RFP process, that's kind of out of our control. It's most effective for us when there's a signed, sealed, and delivered project, and we know that within that 1 to 2 week timeline, it's actually going to be an active opportunity. So that's something, too, that we have to take into account as we're going through that overall sales cycle. So the frequency of outreach and the volume of outreach is really important so that we can keep top of mind and build up those agency relationships on an ongoing basis. Ideally, out of the 10 or 15 opportunities on a monthly basis, where our goal is for anywhere from 50 to 60 touch points, which is generally an initial capabilities meeting or an email exchange of our portfolio. On average, about 10 to 15 of those on a weekly basis based on weekly campaigns that we're sending out.
Okay, this is great. So also enlighten us on the actual prospect team that you're working with. Are there going to be multiple roles that are engaging with you, or do you focus on a singular role and then work out from there? For example, in the book Predictable Prospecting, in chapter 3, we talk about this influence map, and we want to be able to engage in conversation with a variety of people because we're not always going to get to the decision maker day one. So we look at direct and indirect influencers as well. Now, with agencies, are you typically talking to the principals of the agency, or are there multiple roles that you've set up with these funnels in order to engage via the LinkedIn process?
It's interesting that you brought up the influencer map. We actually built out a software application for one of our clients that consults and advises, multinational global, corporations, primarily in like the oil and gas industry. Mm-hmm. And we created this influencer mapping software that allowed them to create a data visualization solution so that when these large organizations want to go into Mexico, for example, they can see, the president of Mexico and the broader web of the 30 or 40 influencers, from his family to his colleagues and other people in his cabinet, and see what's the best, approach to getting into that political system.
That's awesome. Love that.
it was a very, very cool project. So I'm with you on the mapping. It really depends on, I keep saying it depends, because with sales, prospecting, there's so many variables, mm-hmm. but it's trial and error. So oftentimes, if I'm doing the outreach, we find much more success if I'm reaching out to the C-suite, because it's founder to founder, CEO to CEO, and they're more likely to engage in that. With my account manager, typically, he's reaching out to either a head of production, a project manager, creative director. There's about 5 or 7 profiles within an agency that are either decision makers or can influence decision makers, based on the overall production schedule. And those are people that are in the day-to-day production function and typically are dealing with a lot of the BS and headaches of, in the agency world, a very inefficient model when it comes to technical production. A lot of agencies try to do it, and many of them, have a horror stories working with development firms because of, I can spend a whole show talking about all those issues, but I won't go into that. But really the role that have the biggest pain points, and during our sales pitch, that pitch resonates with them the most. And then from there, it's either passed around or we get to the point where we're being engaged as a vendor or bidding on active projects.
Okay. Well, this process that you've developed is wonderful for, I think, it complements the work that I do in terms of having multiple, perhaps, decision makers or influencers. And then you're hyper-personalizing the conversation once you have technology help you kind of warm up that chill. That's what we call a whatcha campaign, warm up the chill campaign. And we're basically trying to get to the point where it makes sense to have that belly-to-belly conversation virtually via phone or whatever medium works best for your prospect, and have it on a hyper-personalized level, meaning you're personalizing the conversation. You're not leveraging it through a mass media contact or, the mass marketing that of old, which has gone out of the, scope now for most of us. How are you handling with your European and non-US clients this GDPR issue and the ability to leverage other channels besides email, or opt-in versus non-opt-in? Have you come across that yet with agencies that you work with abroad?
So all the agencies that we work with are US-based, mainly because of cost. So most of the European agencies or South America or Asian agencies, they're feeding into Eastern Europe, India, South America for offshore or nearshore developers. And there's just a huge cost disparity, where we might be in the $150 to $200 blended hourly rate. Those firms are generally in the, you know, $20 to $60 an hour range. So it's been highly inefficient for us to even explore, global agencies. So for us, it's all US based. So luckily, okay. No GDPR issues.
Not yet. It's coming. But I think, you know, the fact that you're going in through these social channels, which, you know, LinkedIn, we've seen a spike now in people starting to utilize LinkedIn, but unfortunately, they are using it in a mass way to get connections. And then they get the connection and then they just kind of quote unquote vomit all over you with what they've got and give you no reason why you should consider it. So there's no relationship being established. It's just taking the mass emailing of cold calling and plopping it into LinkedIn and thinking that's going to work for them. So I love what you're doing here with really working on the relationship and looking at the relationship and engagement of the prospect with your assets, your content assets and your messaging. And then and only then do you take them to the level of the one-on-one type conversation with hyper-personalized. In our parting now, I want to be respectful for people's time. And we could talk all day because I really enjoy where you're going and what you've done. But if we were to kind of wrap up this conversation, if I'm sitting here thinking, I really don't know how to use LinkedIn or I don't use LinkedIn. My boss tells me to get a list and start calling. How would you get people to that next step of success in starting to leverage LinkedIn or what you mentioned also other channels? I'm so used to B2B, we don't necessarily, or maybe it's not right. Maybe we should be using Twitter and should be using other. But if I had to pick one for a B2B, I have a relationship sale that gets that 10 to 15 ops per month. Where would I leverage LinkedIn and how should I go about doing that?
I would start with LinkedIn without a doubt. Googling is the first way to start. Going to YouTube and, LinkedIn growth hacking videos. I mean, there's such an abundance of information out there. All you really have to do is kind of start digging a little bit and searching for that type of content. Mm-hmm. From there, I think it should be maybe 10 or 15% of your outreach to start and build up some metrics and data that you can present to your supervisor, manager, and say, hey, look, this is the outreach I've been doing per your guidance. Here's the outreach I've been testing, and here's the data as a result. And like you mentioned before, let the data speak for itself. I think if you're thoughtful about how you're leveraging some of these platforms and tracking them effectively, I think you're going to see pretty unique results. I can't stress enough the importance of having a really, clean and polished up profile. That's your digital representation of who you are and, what you do. So going through and cleaning up, your LinkedIn, again, there's tutorials online that you can look at how to have an effective LinkedIn profile. Creating content, that's something that, doesn't have to be part of the funnel per se, but it's part of your brand. And each sales professional should be building their own brand. People want to do business with people they can relate to or people that they trust. And the best way to do that is to put yourself out there. That could be through video content, talking about topics, talking about your industry, talking about anything, but putting it out there in a way that is not intrusive and you're being thoughtful. That will add a lot of value to the overall system. Again, testing different things. I'd advise someone not to do targeted in-mail. I think it's the worst. What most people don't realize about LinkedIn is that it was first and foremost a recruiting tool. It's how people find jobs. So most of the time people sign up with LinkedIn with their personal email address. So when you're sending them a direct in-mail, they're actually getting notifications in their personal email folder. And 9 times out of 10, people don't check that as frequently. And they also think that that outreach is about, their career. So prospecting in that way creates a very kind of, erratic workflow mm-hmm. for people that are looking to reach out to folks. So I think that's one thing to be thoughtful of. But for the most part, it's really just putting yourself out there, searching, testing new things, and then letting the data drive all the future decisions that you're going to make with you and the rest of your team.
So again, to summarize here, 10 to 15% of your time, folks. So if you're doing your workflow, your daily workflow, there's a process that I like to use, Jonathan, called First and 10. And it's not nearly as beefy as what you're doing, but it gives people the workflow habit of connecting through LinkedIn. And it, First and 10 is very simple. First thing in the morning or first break you have, go ahead and try to reach out to 10 people, whether they can be net new people, they could be people who are already in your network with whom you want to continue or restart a conversation. And if you do this every day, 10 per day, 10, 22 business days a month, you're now generating 220 more conversations, thoughtful conversations. This is not spamming people. This is thoughtful conversations that you're doing every month. And over time, you'll have that statistically relevant data so that you can start seeing the value of this type of connection. But it's all about repetition and consistency. This is not something you do whilst you're, you know, drinking your coffee every once in a while. This is an everyday thing to get you in that habit. Jonathan, how can we reach out to you for further information or get to know what your agent, what your company is doing with agencies? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, first thing, go to LinkedIn. That's the first step in the overall process. I'm on there. Add me, follow me, whatever you choose. Feel free to email me, jonathan@agencylabs.com. You can find me at agencylabs.com or most of the other, you know, social platforms, Twitter, Instagram. I'm pretty active and I always respond. So feel free to reach out. I'd love to add value to your community and beyond.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And I'll make sure for everyone that I'll work with Jonathan on getting some of these links to these tools that whizzed by while you were while you were listening that I think would be very helpful to get started. And if you are committed to leveraging this potential channel for part of your prospecting rhythm, I think it's a wise thing to use some of these tools because they'll really help you catapult your prospecting skills to that next level. Jonathan, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciated having you on the podcast.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure.